Accession number 14972, Richard Atkinson, Reel 1.
When and where were you born, Mr. Atkinson?
Well, I was born in Jarrow on the 5th of July, 1920. And according to my mother, I was born above an ice cream shop on Great Ormond Street in Jarrow.
What did your father do?
My father was a railway man all his life. Never left the railway. And, through him we used to have to travel various towns for promotion in those days, so we didn't live in one area very long. But I was born in Jarrow, but my mother's family and the father's family come from Felling, so that was more or less our base.
The home you lived in, what was it like?
Well, the first home I can really visualize was in Tyne Dock when you lived in there, because we always lived in railway property, and we were always moving around. And it was a general strike in 1926, and there were railway cottages, a street of houses, like two rooms. I think there was an upstairs, I wouldn't be sure, but they were all exactly the same, two rooms and a kitchenette and cold water and stuff like that.
Was it an urban area you lived in?
Tyne Dock. Well, no, it wasn't actually. It was alongside the railway sheds, and it was half country and half town. You used to have to walk down into Tyne Dock, but you weren't out of it, so to say. You were near upon the outskirts of Tyne Dock. And all I can remember there was the engine sheds and the strike in 1926.
You said your father was a railway man. What job did he have with the railways?
Well, he started off in the central, as far as, you know, we hear him talking. He used to tell you these things as a boy. He was a messenger boy and he worked in the signal cabins in the central station until the First World War came along, which he joined the cavalry. And when he came back, evidently his brother had his job, so he just went on the operating side of things and he finished it as a guard, you know, that sort of style. Good God.
Well, what was the pay like? Was it a well-paid job?
No. It wasn't good paid, but there was no work, and his brag was, well, it's 52 weeks in a year. And the concessionary travel, which made a difference, we did get round to places, you know, days out the seaside, in the what they used to call foreign passes with London, which my father wouldn't use, but my mother always used, and she said, take me to London for the day, just to use a pass up. But that was part of the wages, and that was his brag. Poor wages, but had its perks.
Did your mother work?
Evidently, until I was born. She come from a pretty wealthy side of things. Her father was, he had a big business in London somewhere, and she was his secretary. But often my mother used to brag, like, he only took a job because my grandmother said and sister used a layabout, and he had to have a job. So he took his job in Mexico, and they married, then he come back. But I think he must have been something with the Masons, because it was their disappointment I wouldn't join the Masons. But I think it was something big in the Masons, because and she was his secretary, and he used to live in London and only come home for weekends, things like that. And he had an office in St. Nicholas's place somewhere up here as well. So he must have been well-to-do in those days. You know, I'm talking about 1926, 30s.
Did it affect the relationship, wealthy background of your mother and father, and your father being a railway man?
Yes, it was a funny background. You had to get permission to go to your grandmother's. And if you weren't the favourite, you didn't get. And sometimes they would put me on the train from Jarrow to Felling. You know, the guard would look after you, get off and you walk over the footbridge to my grandmother's. And you're all right. Another time you'd fall out of favour and you wouldn't be allowed back. It was, you know, it was a funny thing. And all her sons was ship's officers on refrigeration boats, and you know, you should see them and things like that. It wasn't a family like what we talk about today.
What family? Victorian. What family did you have? Were you the only son?
Yeah, our sister, brother and sister, have a sister 3 years younger than me.
What work did your sister do when she grew up, did she?
Well, we lived in the farm by this time. We had come back to the farm. We'd been all over the northeast, the area by then, because she's, you know, in those days, but to get promotion, I had it. She started off as a telegraphist, you know, working at the telephone exchange for Fulham Council. Well, the war came along and she joined the Wrens, and I don't think she went back to work after that. I don't think so. I can't remember it, no. She may have had, like, you know, odd jobs, but I don't think she did anything special. Because by this time my mother had a boarding house after the war, and we just all sort of mucked in there.
Would you say that your home life as a child was comfortable?
Oh, yes.
Secure?
Comfortable. Happy. Funny home life, but it was comfortable. You see, compared with what we lived amongst miners, things like that in those days. And, you know, times was hard, and they all had big families. And we were unusual, it was only the two of us. I mean, the lads I knocked around with, there was 6, 8 boys in the family, and 3 girls, and things like that. And we were the odd ones out. And so we were very, you know, we were a very happy family. It was just one of those things that was just the two of us, which is very, very unusual.
The community in which you lived, was it a closely knit, helpful community?
Yes, closely community, very close. We all lived in the one street and area. We all went to the same schools. We all knocked around together at night times. Well, we hung around the corners at night times. There's no money. You hung around corners at night times. You know, played games amongst yourselves. But, you know, if people was ill, they helped out, and if you wrote messages for people, and you did all the... Yes, it was a nice community. It didn't seem so at the time, but it was.
Did your father have any means of supplementing your food and so on? I'm thinking in terms of allotments and gardens.
Yes, he had an allotment, but I don't know, I think he seemed to sit and play dominoes more than anything else. He used to get their homegrown potatoes and things like that. And of course, in those days, a lot of boozing went down, of course. My father liked his drink. It seems that all the rest of them kept dogs, no, things like that. But I wouldn't say they supplemented the family. You got the odd things from the gardens, from the allotments.
What was the discipline like at home?
Well, it wasn't very strict in our house. I can never remember. Well, my father and I, in his later years, we didn't get on very well, but he was shift worker. You know, he'd gone up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, come back, all the times and whatnot. And, I don't think, well, checked, of course. Well, you know, I think money was your discipline. You couldn't, you just had to do your tool sort of style. And, you know, you lived within your means and that was it. And if you got your treats, there you go.
Did the church or chapel figure in your early life?
No, nothing like that. I mean, I was christened at church and all that, but I was sent to Sunday school as a child. Didn't like it, but I was sent. It was just a Presbyterian thing across the road. I mean, we were Church of England, but I was sent there and cared nothing for it. But they didn't insist on it. There's no push to religion or anything like that.
How old were you when you went to school?
I think I was around about 5 when I first started, I think.
Do you remember your first school?
No. See, I had, with my father moving around, I had so many schools, and I never really settled at any until the 1930s. Because, we lived in Berwick once over, and we lived there for 9 months when my father was doing the Scottish run from Berwick. And we didn't speak anybody. It was very Clannish area, and we just went to Bell Tower School. I can remember that one because it was winter, and the kids used to have skates. Bell Tower School in Berwick, and come back, and used to go for walks across the bridge. But I think that's about the first school I can remember, really. And I'll be nine then.
How did you judge the education you got?
Well, I didn't have a very good education. I say it through changing around. I seem to lose out all the time. You know, by the time you made friends, you got to know the school, you're moving elsewhere. Until we actually came to the film, that would be about 1930-ish. And I settled down in a proper school, like Fuller Park School, then I moved on to High Board School thing, and finished my school in there. So I'd get about maybe 2-3 years, because he left school at 14 then.
Where were you living then?
Felling.
And you stayed basically there, did you?
Yes, we moved to Felling in 1930. You know, you got the top, what they call the top link guard. You'd done a, you know, making a little bit extra money in those days, or a top man, and that's where we finished, because he worked at St. James's in Gateshead, local sheds. And the film was all from there on. And there were film families. His mother and father had lived on the street we lived in years before, because we're both dead by this time. No, one was dead, sorry. And the other parents lived in the film, we say the film railway station, film colliery in those days, and they were dead by that time. So we're sort of come the full circle and back home. And that was the finish of our traps and round.
Where did you start work?
From Felling. I left school in Felling. Actually, I left school and there was no work. I think I was about, I had a weekend grocery delivery boy for Lowe's stores 3 days a week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I had 3 days delivering groceries for them, pushing a barrel for 3 shillings a week. And that was the first job, part-time, and then I had to go to the door school, and there was trouble there, because the railway didn't pay door in those days. It was a family like what the Japanese are now, they looked after them. And I says, well, he's never paid door, he's never paid door, I'm not going to go to the door school, because all it was doing was a pick and shovel shift in the film pity. And anyway, so he was threatened with court, and he made us go, so I eventually got a job on the buildings.
How old would you be when you got a full-time job?
Yeah, I think it was about 15. It would be about a year before I got work. So and you say 35.
And this was on the building site?
On the building site, yes. As a can work. But I had to travel from Felling to South Shields for the job. It wasn't just around the corner. So he had the railway gather again. See, this is the funny part. The railway gave him concessionary fares until I was old enough to be sort of earn a little bit of money. So I had sort of cheap travel, because when you're in those days, you had cheap travel stop when you're 14. You're supposed to work, you see. Well, with not having a job, no work, the railway made a concession that I could get a pass, a weekly pass, but the work. Because by the time I got from Felling to South Shields and up to Cleeden on the tram car, I had no money left. So the railway gave him that concession, and I was earning a little bit to pay for it.
What was your first job in the buildings trade?
Canboy, making tea for the men. And it was a Hull firm. Kettlewells at Hull, I'll never forget it. They built all the certain trust houses. And there was all Hull people in the engaged, when they come to an area, they engaged people in building council houses, actually, at Cleeden and South Shields. And if your face fitted or your favourite, they put you on a trade. At 16, you had to be 16 before you start learning to trade. Well, I did warm the cans and made the teas and run the messages. General dog's body, that's what you were. And they said, yes, and they put us on apprentice bricklayer, and that's... But when the site finished in those days, you had to be a bound apprentice. You're bound with the firm, and they were going to Edinburgh, and my mother says he's not leaving home at 16 to travel into lodgings and that, and building sites, where we don't know what's happening. So I couldn't be a bound apprentice, so I had to sort of go freelance and find my own work. So Kettlewells didn't want us, so I was finished.
What was your first pay?
First pay was 7 shillings a week.
And from that you had to find everything?
Everything. It was your transport, your meals, everything, your overalls, everything.
And how many hours would you work for that?
48.
That included Saturday?
Yes, Saturday.
Sunday off?
Sunday off. Saturday afternoon, Sunday off. You finished 8 till 12, you worked on a Saturday.
When you got out of the cabin boy situation, it was quite heavy work, was it not?
Well, you were put with two tradesmen. And, you know, they weren't beyond cuffing you behind their lug hole if you didn't do as you're told and things like that. If you didn't learn properly or if you didn't show any interest, they would get rid of you. They weren't interested unless you were interested. You got a good drawing, actually, because, you know, you knew you had to do it and do it correctly. So you're with two tradesmen in between them. And you picked it up from there. And you qualified, and then you eventually got as a tradesman. But they never reached that stage because the war came along.
You've intimated there that life could be quite rough as a young boy with working with qualified people.
Yes. Oh, yes. You had to be able to stand on your own 2 feet. There was... They wouldn't tolerate any impudence, cheek. They wouldn't, you know, you had to do as you're told and knuckle down, learn the rules and abide by the rules. There was no ifs or buts.
Did you get any holidays within the working situation?
No. I can never remember holidays until, 37-ish, around about that time when I was working as, you know, I'd been finished from kettlewells and... I was working for the local builder, and you got Wednesday afternoon off on your Castle races. The race Wednesday afternoon, and that was your holiday, and it wasn't paid. And of course, there was no such thing as annual holidays or anything. And then when the winter came along, you just finished. You went down the door, shoveling snow or whatever was going, and the weather picked up again and it took you back on again.
So in effect, you didn't work when the weather was against you?
No.
Neither were you paid for it?
No. You were on the dole, and that was it. And the dole would send you shoveling snow anywhere, you know, for the councils and whatnot in those days. And you just... There's no loyalty. The firms had no loyalty. Well, you had no loyalty to the firm, and they had no loyalty to you, and you just... You went where the best job was, whether if somebody's offering an extra halfpenny, you went there, and things like that. You looked around, and... Because things would begin to pick up, because the war was coming along, and things was picking up, and you could sort of... Look round a little bit. Like the councils was a good job. But then again, religion came into a foreign council. I know it's an awful thing to say, but if you weren't a Catholic, you didn't work for a foreign council. And I wasn't a Catholic. So, there's all those little things. But, you start on a job. I mean, I worked for a foreign council. And I started on a job. It was chucking down with rain. I worked all day, and the general foreman come to me and he says to me, "By the way, what church do you go to?" And I told him, he says, "Oh, well, you're finished." And that was at 4 o'clock at night. He says, you know, and the funny part about it, a couple of years later, he was general foreman for this private builder I was working for. He never asked the same question. Never, he never mentioned it.
Felling was a
private firm, you see.
Felling was a strong Catholic area.
Very strong. We lived in Ridley Street, and the Catholic church was on High Street. You could put your clock on with the times of people going up and down the mass. It was a very strong Catholic area, yes.
Were you attracted towards trade unionism?
Yes. My father was a strong trade unionist. And I can remember when he was on a shift where the union money was due, I would have to take it down. And that was the funny part. It was in the Foreign Council offices, the union meetings. And I can remember taking his money in. Well, stamp the door and hand over, you weren't allowed in and taking back. And, I mean, that's one thing. He sort of insists on, you know, trade union. It's only right you've got to stand up for your thing, like that. And I've been a trade unionist, still am. I'm still a treasurer for the trade union today. I have been all my life, 50-year member and everything, through him.
You said that you're working up to about, the start of the war, of course.
Yes.
What signs were that the war was coming? Did you see anything that was happening around you that you felt, oh, there's going to be some problems?
Well, Chamberlain, with his piece of paper, Peace in Our Time, that was about a year beforehand, and the army was having recruitment marches and drives and things like that, and the bands was playing. And, you know, different things like that. And there was a lot of advertising outside drill holes and on posters, you know, join the guards and see the world. And it was quite a bit, you know, it was getting pushed more and more. But you didn't realise it, but it, when you think of it now, it was.
With 1938 onwards, coming up to the war at that kind of time, was there any physical signs that steps were being taken because war was about to start?
Yes.
I think in terms of sandbagging.
Yes, well, it started the ERP before I joined that. I was, I had been in the Boy Scouts for a little bit, but I joined the youth club, National Associates and Boys Clubs, and they had the unemployed hut, which they used to let us in 7 nights a week. And when the war started, they asked us, and we volunteered us to help with dishing gas masks out and messenger boys and things like that. And that, I think that was about a year before the war came along, we started ERP business. And little things, you know, you'd have to dig trenches and scoop. And
you said you joined the ARP.
No, I didn't join it. The boys' club volunteered for us to do these jobs. And you're sort of helper, you're amongst them. You maybe, you know, when they ask for people. But I didn't join the ARP, no.
Were people beginning to talk about the possibility of war?
Yes. I think so. Because I think I can remember my father talking about different things they'd have to do on railways and whatnot. And what they'd have to do. And the railway men couldn't join the forces because it was a reserved occupation. Things like that, those reserved occupations getting mentioned and whatnot. But actually, you know, just being kids, it didn't sink in. And I think the newsreels were showing Hitler's propaganda speeches and stuff like that, you know. But it was there.
What were you doing on the morning that Chamberlain made the announcement that war had begun?
I was in the army, I was in church parade.
Oh, you joined the army before
then?
Oh,
yeah, I was territorial.
How did that come about?
Joined the territorials. Well, as I say, there was never any holidays. And the band, the DLI band, was playing in the Fallon Square. I had some trucks out and them marching along with anti-tank guns, and the band was playing that. And the Selig come along and joined us. And we followed the band as well, four of us standing. And I says, well, should we join? They said, well, look, we'll get a camp. You know, we'll get a 14 camp, a holiday. And we'll join. We went through and we went into the drill hall. We followed the band and, we followed the soldiers into the drill hall. And when the three wasn't there, I was on my own, and I says, well, I fancy it, and I just went ahead with it and joined.
What date was this?
13th of March, my sister's birthday.
The year?
39. It's not on there, but it was the 13th of March, my sister's birthday, 39.
Can you take me through the process of joining as a territory? What did you have to do?
Yes, I can remember as clear as a bell. I walked from the Fallon Square, you know, followed the band along. It was only a short street, a couple hundred yards. And went in the drill hall, and I said, I would like to join that. And they said, oh, well, fair enough. So they put us, there's a few of us, and they put us on a truck, and they took us across to Gateshead to, I think, I don't know, he had a rank, captain of pretty high ranking. He was a medical officer for the Durhams. Oh, just forgot his name for a second. Was it Clark? Scott? Anyway, it was in the Crescent at Gateshead. His name will come back. And it was a civilian practice. And this, whoever it was, a nurse, someone said, the Durhams have sent some of these men across for a medical. And he says, lined up in alphabetical order, all A. And the fella behind me, he should have been first, was like a fella called Adga. I'll never forget him. And he shoved me forward, and I went in, and he was sitting at a desk, like a window and two doors and whatnot. And he says to me, you want to join the army? I said, yes, sir. He says, well, read that eye chart. And there's a door there with the one I know, A, B, what it is, and another one there. And I said, well, which one do you want? He says, that'll do. And that was my army medical. They put us back on the truck, brought us back to the drill hall, and a Captain Kelly, from Kelly's and Gates, that I found out since, Packing, was a command officer of C Company. And he just swore in there and then on the Bible and swore allegiance to the king and all his heirs and successors. And that was it, I was in. but they didn't have uniform, so I went home and I said, no, come back and drill mate, wherever the native was, and from there it gives a drill card and a cap. I think I had some denim suits and give us denims.
Before we go on with that, what did your parents think when you walked in and said you were a tutorial?
I didn't tell them for a month. Well, my mother. I told my mother, I didn't dare tell my father. Came now, he wasn't too friendly to start with, but eventually plucked up courage and told my mother. And she said, well, I'm a bit disappointed, but you've done it and there's nothing you can do about it.
Your father would find out. What was his reaction when he did?
I don't know. I don't think he would be very pleased. He's a cavalry man and he horses, and he thought, you know, maybe you thought I should have done that or what. But we weren't very close by this time.
So you were given then, you were saying, a uniform. What uniform did they give you?
Just a suit of denims. And the buttons, the loose buttons that you put on with the rings. And we had that for, quite a while before we started to get there. They had Bren guns, we were training us on Bren guns and learning how to fire a rifle and sight the rifles and whatnot. But it was a bit before we got clothing and equipment.
Where did you say the drill hall was?
In Booth Street in Felling. It was just down the street from where I lived, you know, 2 minutes walk from where I lived. Booth Street, Felling.
What did it look like? What was a drill hall like?
It's a beautiful brick building. And you went in through the stone gunnel, off enough outside. Beautiful arch door where you went through, and the hall was in front of you. It's a big hall. And various doors leading off, like to the armory, the mess, the company office and whatnot. There's different doors leading off, which, you never got into those unless you were invited, so to say, or the charge or something like that. But there's big hall, and you did everything in the hall. You had a green card and it was marked with your drill zone. I think your drill was an hour. Each drill was an hour and you did like 2 hours a night.
What was the first drills that you learned?
Saluting, I think. Saluting, I think, would be the first one we learned. And then how to recognise officers and whatnot in different ranks. Because the fellow in charge was a regular that was seconded to the fellow called Rick, CSM, or PSA, whatever it is, Permanent Staff Instructor Rick.
What was he like?
We didn't like him. He was a funny fellow. He was a terrible man. And yet, I can thank him. He did a lot of things for me which I didn't realise, and until afterwards. But he was a bully, you know, in our eyes, because we'd never had discipline like that before. And, you know, and he insisted on it, he was regular. Whatnot.
How did you take to the discipline of the army?
Well, it was good, because, as I say, we were under the impression we were going to work classes, you know, just recruits for the first year. And then you had to do 60 drills the first year, then as a trade man, you only did 40. Well, I got the drills in. I managed to get the 60 drills in. I says, right, I'm set for the camp now. Which it never came along. But I think I took it all right. I think I enjoyed it, really, when I think of it now. Because I never missed a drill and I couldn't get there enough. You see, with being the boys, we used to go there and do PT and whatnot. And it was just behind the drill hall. And it was like the second boys club, really. Just a bit more different.
When you were doing your marching drill, did they start you off immediately at light infantry pace, or did you have to build
no.
up to it?
I think, if I remember correctly, it was form fours then, and you form twos and fours and stuff like that, and you're doing these in the drill hall. No, I don't think we did learned infantry pace. I don't think we ever learned it. I think we picked that up when the war came along, and we had to do it. Because we never did any marches, you know, they took us to Whitburn to fire the course. I think they got what you were transported.
Was there any money, was there any payment involved for whatever you did?
No, I never received a halfpenny because you had to put the drills in to be as a recruit and you got paid a camp. It was a late camp that year, we never got a camp. So I never got a camp yet from the drill, never got paid yet. I suppose it would be credits and whatnot. I don't know, but
you didn't get any weekend camps.
No. Oh yes, one. Now where was that? It could have been Whitburn or it could have been Hampsley. I'm not sure. I couldn't see it for, but I had one. But it was sort of just learning the guard duties and stuff like that. Pickets.